We're men in tights. All right, I've started. I pushed the record button, so we are technically live right now, Ken.
Cool.
Good afternoon, Ken, and welcome into the second recording of what are we calling male encounters of the life kind.
Of the life kind, yes.
And you know, we even talked about the conversation. And I already told you how my day's been going. So my brain is kind of fried. So you may have to carry the whole thing. I may just have to mute my microphone and snore. I'll tell you another thing, too. You had said something about, you know, we should probably, instead of doing these, because we're doing this one via the last two, the one before and this one, via FaceTime. And so, which is, you know, and you said about being together, and I don't have a problem with doing that. I mean, my other ones are recorded to get, you know, one-on-one.
Right.
But the nice part that I have with you is, you know, I'm sitting here in my skivvies and you don't even know that. So I couldn't do that. Well, I guess I might be able to, but you are too. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
I work in my shorts.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay then, TMI, everybody. But what were we going to discuss today? Because I was really interested in this topic. I mean, we've been texting back and forth different ideas. And what was this one going to be?
Well, since we just started the show and it's called Male Encounters and it's a couple of guys talking about guy stuff, maybe we should talk about, you know, what it means to be a man.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's a tough one to answer.
Well, and to me it's an ever moving line.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that now that I remember, thanks to you, I knew I kept you around for some reason. Not just your advertising capabilities, but you're absolutely right. I mean, do you open doors for ladies anymore? I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah. You know, it's just kind of crazy. And like you said, the line is moving, right?
Right.
So, you know, when we were raised, it was a more traditional view of a man, right? So it was just beat into our head on a daily basis from parents, from friends, from society and culture, everything that, you know, be tough, suck it up, dust it off, you know, move forward, be strong, support everybody, protect everybody, just all of that stuff, you know. And it's hard to say. I mean, having been raised in that, I agree with a lot of that.
Sure.
But maybe there are men out there that feel that pressure a little bit too much and just can't handle that, you know, the weight of it all.
Well, and you know, it's a lot of it too has to deal with, and I'm not sure how much I want to reveal, as far as my personal family is concerned. I mean, my side, I'm talking about my kids and their family. But, you know, my dad, you know, it was yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, all of that. You know, it just was.
Exactly.
You showed respect to every, not just another male, but to females in particular. You were always treated with respect. You opened the car doors for them. You did, you know, you walk on the streets. Do you know this rule? This is something my parents taught me. My dad taught me.
Oh, definitely.
You walk on the street side in case there's puddles or something, so that the lady that you're walking with doesn't get wet or they can splash.
Yeah, just overall protection. I don't want Jerry walking on the street side with traffic and anything else that might be there. I've got to be on that side. It bugs me when she tries to get on the curbside when we're out walking the neighborhood and I'm moving her over so I can take the curbside and kind of shield her from the street. Is that chauvinist, you know, in today's world, or is that just what I'm supposed to do? I naturally do. I don't even think about it.
Well, here's the thing. And I naturally try to do it as well. I have been out with women that get upset, for lack of the word, pissed about doing that kind of thing. And I got a lady, I had a lady get mad at me for opening a car door for her. I don't understand. I'm not ingrained that way. I mean, I can't say that I don't understand it, but it depends. You know, there's a lot of guys out now that were raised by single mothers. And so they have a little bit different perspective on all of that stuff as well. The macho thing has really, there are still some women out there that like the bad boy image.
Absolutely.
I should have silenced my phone or put my phone on airplane mode. I may have to edit some of that crap out. I hope you're not hearing any of that. I just got a ding.
Didn't hear a thing.
All right, good. That's the disadvantage of doing FaceTime. If you're an idiot like me and forget to put your phone on airplane mode, and I don't have Ren here with me, that my partner on the other podcast, she makes sure all that stuff is done. So, you know, I'm kind of spoiled in that sense. There's where the shoe is reversed. There's a typical example.
Yeah. Ren,
a young lady, makes sure that all of that kind of crap for me is taken care of. I mean, I don't have to worry about any of it. But the bad part about that is it kind of makes you lazy. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, it could. I grew up in working in offices, right? So I didn't have kind of stereotypical man jobs, you know, with air quotes around that. I worked in offices, and mostly my coworkers and the people I relied on a daily basis were women. And so that's just kind of become norm for me. If there's a job to do, I rely on a woman because that's who I've always relied on. Right. They're going to get it done. So, yeah.
Well, I have always, and my mother was probably the original burn your bra women's libist. I swear to you. I can remember her teaching my daughter, my firstborn, when she was like, I don't know, three, barely talking. She taught her to say, I am woman, I can do anything. And she made her go tell my dad that, right?
Yeah.
go tell Grandpa Bob what you just learned. I am woman, I can do anything. And my daughter has grown up with that attitude and pretty much has been kind of, and for the longest time, she was the breadwinner in her family because, first of all, she was firstborn, and your firstborn, how many kids do you have?
Just one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a tricky slope as well, but the firstborn usually is the one that you push, you know, it's the one that you, and probably one with an only child, you probably did the same thing with that child starting out. As you have a couple, my youngest, you know, it's like, whatever, you know, it's like, you know, if he makes it, he makes it. If he don't, he don't, you know, but he's the baby. I'm going to take care of him no matter what.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I forgot where I was going with that train of thought, but that's kind of way in my generation and close to your generation, we're not that far apart, maybe 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
But that's the way my generation was raised. And, and we have a lot of men and women that were raised by single mothers and a few that have been raised by single fathers. Typically, that's not the case. It's typically the woman that raises the child.
Right. Yeah. You know, I actually played a big part or a reasonable part. I don't know how big, but a reasonable part in having an influence with a single father and his daughter. So that's not quite a normal thing, but man, he did a fantastic job with her. And then her influence is two men that were just fun and crazy. And
I think I know who this is.
Yeah. And we're men, and she's off in the world now. And man, super proud of her. She brought a story back to me that of her being a supervisor in kind of a technical arena. And there were some guys underneath her that weren't listening to her. They kept going around her, and she didn't understand what she did wrong. Why were they upset with her? And she knew what she was talking about. They wouldn't take orders from her. And when she finally realized it's because she's a girl, that they weren't listening to her, it was a complete surprise. She had never encountered that kind of thinking before. She told me, she said, I blame you guys. It's all your fault. You told me, that I could do anything I wanted to do, that girls can do anything that guys can do and all that. So yeah, she was happy and a little upset that was an issue that she had to deal with that she was not exposed to until she was off and out in the world, because that's just what we did. We just said, hey, I mean, gender only makes a difference to so many things. So if it's a job, especially a technical job, you're going to nail it. You can do whatever you want to do. It's all your brain. Your brain is as capable as anyone else's on the planet, you know?
Well, that's
But that's not kind of traditional thinking, as men growing up in a traditional world, we're trained to think that we're supposed to be the ones to take care of all that kind of stuff.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was kind of because my mother was the way she was. I kind of fell in the middle, in all honesty, but I still think a gentleman is a gentleman is a gentleman, period.
Right.
And there are certain things that a gentleman should do for a lady. And I think a lady there are certain things that they should do too for their man, period. I just think it's kind of a wishy-washy kind of thing. I have to tell you that, this is a pretty, deep story, but in my second marriage, I had a stepdaughter who was a world champion roller speed skater.
Nice.
And this is going to be hard for me to do this, but I want to get it out because this was one of the arguments that I had. Her grandfather was a staunch male figure. I mean, he was very, and I respected the guy. I didn't have any problem with him, but
right.
He felt like women are a woman's responsibility. It's the old barefoot and pregnant thing. Not necessarily to be pregnant, but they were to stay home and take care of the family. And when I first started taking them to meets, we got kind of sideways. And he said he didn't think that was a proper thing for it was, because my daughter was with us too. I mean, we were raising five kids, two of which were mine, three were hers. And he didn't think I should be taking those girls, shouldn't be doing that speed. Now my daughter didn't speed skate. She was the frilly girl for sure, but she still could hold her own. But the other two were champion speed skaters. I mean, champion speed skaters. Took medals at nationals. I mean, they were fast. And I honestly believe the only thing held them back was their that side of the family. I mean, I think they could have gone on to regular ice skating and been gold medalists. And I honestly, I'm not just saying that. I believe that with everything that I am. But he came to me and he said he didn't like me taking his granddaughters to these meets because they needed to, that's not what a woman does. That's not what a woman was made for.
Sure.
Or born to do. I think that's what the way he put it. This is the honest God truth. I said to him, you know what? I don't care what my daughter wants to do. As long as she's the best at it. If my daughter wants to be a hooker, as long as she's the best damn hooker, I don't care.
Right.
Whatever she decides she wants to do, I'm going to support. Well, I'm going to agree with it. Not if she's going to be a hooker. No, I'm never going to agree with that.
Right.
But
exactly.
But whatever it is that she wants to do, I will support fully and agree with it. Period. Bottom line, you know?
Yeah.
So, fortunately, their mother, my two kids' mother, my first wife, my ex, was very strong too. She was a very strong female figure for my kids. So they had a good solid upbringing as far as male and female roles. And moving the female, because, I encouraged her to go to work and she did, and so on and so on and so on. That's kind of the basic of the whole thing. But
right.
I do think when, you know, because how many marriages end in divorce? What is it now? 60% or something?
Yeah, it's something really crazy.
The other thing that I did, and you and I've had this discussion, I don't know how deep you want to get into it, but my first wife, the mother of my kids, my first two kids, I have three, I only have one more, but she and I sat down and promised each other that we would never, ever use the kids against us or one another or pit them, you know, ever. Whatever decisions we made, we would sit down where the kids were concerned and do what was best for them, not what was best for her and I.
Right.
And it came one time when we were moving off and she said to me, because she was a little unstable and I had gotten married, she said to me, you know, because I wanted the kids to go with me and it was quite a distance away. And she said to me, well, you know what? Take them. I think you're probably you and your significant other are probably, you and your wife at that time, you're probably the best thing for them right now. I'm not. And so it was always that way. And when she got settled in, kids went back to her and we, you know, we planned the visits. They'd stay with me. One time they spent 2 years with me going to school. And then it was time for them to go to high school. I had them come back here because I wanted them to go to my alma mater.
You know? Right. So, yeah.
But
yeah.
Your situation's a little different.
Yeah. Mine was the exact opposite of that. So I wish that we would have had that kind of discussion and respect for each other. I would have totally agreed to something like that, but she wasn't that way. So, half of the years that I missed with my son were because of that. You know, we're completely across the country, almost border to border across the country,
wow.
Ocean to ocean. And she would use him as a playing card.
Pawn.
A pawn to do things in my life. And I wasn't going to have it. I'm not going to play that game. So yeah, I just cut it out, which also cut my son out. And that's really sad.
Yeah.
You know? But that's another thing that I struggle with as, you know, I would have liked to have been a great father. But because I was absent, I didn't get that chance and I can't go back. I can't, you know, try something else or do something else or work something else out. And that's something that I have to live with. And now I'm rebuilding a relationship with my son and whatnot. So, you know, we're not the best of buddies, but we, do check on any, he checks in on me. I check in on him and we're kind of rebuilding that level of trust. He had all those years with his mother and her story of why I wasn't around and regardless of any of that, it's something I struggle with as a man of, you know, and a father, maybe I could have done something else. Maybe I could have, you know, been a better father, found a way to be a better father instead of just absent because of his mom.
I can feel your pain. I mean, it's not easy. I will say that I wasn't the best father for my first two. I was very fortunate to have a very strong wife.
Yeah.
But I was chasing a career and we may have had this conversation. I don't know, but, I wasn't the best that I could have been for them because I was so wrapped up in chasing a career. And, you know, and this is kind of going around to, I think kids nowadays can have the best of both worlds. Because the females are in the workplace now, I was in management for a lot of years and I was a big advocate of making sure that my female managers, I mean, I was in charge of managers, that they made the same money the males did. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will say, because they're almost defunct. It was Sears. We're paying, at that time, this was back in the 70s, late 70s, they were paying, in early 80s, they were paying men in the same position, got a little bit more money than women in the same position. And when I found out about that, I fought that other. I mean, if they're doing the same job, obviously it's based on performance, or it should be based on. Shouldn't ever be based on sex.
It should absolutely
be based on performance. And once. And there was a big move at that time. So it wasn't like I single-handedly did it. There was a lot of that going on at that time. I'm not trying to take credit, but I did help fight for that.
Right, right. You know, with that kind of a conversation there, you know, there's so many factors to that, that you know, there's sexism, people that just automatically pay men more than women. But there's this thing, every single one of us. So a man and masculine, those are not the same thing.
No, you're so right.
Masculine is a trait, feminine is a trait. And so each one of us, men and women, we all have masculine and feminine qualities to us. It's just at what level and what balance does it come out? And so, masculine traits being that masculine people, which is generally men, are usually less polite and nice about things. And those are qualities, strangely enough, of a leader. And so a man is going to be less congenial, and he'll not put up with anything, and he will demand a raise and a promotion more so than generally speaking, a woman would, or anyone with feminine traits that kind of outweigh their masculine traits. So there are women that can absolutely throw dukes and do that. But I don't think it's the norm, you know. But as long as it's not, an automatic, men will just get paid more. That's absolutely wrong. And I don't know what to do about the qualities of a person, you know. That one is just, I think, ingrained into us. You know, the person that's in your face and pushing you for the raise and the promotion and all that kind of stuff will be strangely more likely to get it than the person who is not doing that.
Well, it's that old saying, if you got a squeaking wheel, where are you going to put the grease, right?
Yeah.
You're right. It and you know, it's I am glad that I relish I did when I was younger. The older I get, you know, I'm not as competitive, although maybe I am still somewhat, but I relished anybody. I used to tell people that it didn't matter whether it's male or female, the people that were working for me. I would tell him one of the first meetings I'd have with him, I'm going to train you to do my job. And the next thing I'm going to challenge you to do is to work me out of my job, to take my job. You know, that's my challenge to you. And then I always set goals. And when they attained, especially in sales, when they attained that goal, and it didn't matter whether they were male or female, I had great salespeople that were male. I had great salespeople that were female. I will say the females were a little bit more cutthroat than the men.
Were they really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They were pretty, not in a bad way, but they were like, man, they're
getting it.
Yeah.
They were getting it.
They seemed to be always a step ahead. You know, they seemed to be always a step ahead. But anyway, I'd set a goal, and when they reached that goal, I'd raise it. And the ones that would come in and complain were the ones I usually weeded out. The ones that didn't say a word and kept striving to get it. And every time I raised it, you know, they would just look at me and go, okay, you know, and get after it.
Yeah.
So those are the ones you want. And it didn't matter to me because my gross profit is how I made a bonus. It mattered not to me if it was male or female. If you got your butt out there and did what you were asked to do and did it properly, no cheating. I didn't like people that cheated, but I did like how forceful the women were. I mean, they were like Johnny on the spot, and I didn't have a lot of men like that.
Wow.
I mean, I had one or two. And at one point I had, when I was in Phoenix, I had the place that I started with, the last place that I went to, I had 60 something, and it was about a 60-40 split female to male. full commission salespeople. So they didn't make any money unless they sold something. And so,
yeah,
you know, that can get, and we're talking appliances, you know, we're not talking like, you know, major bucks like a car or something. We're talking freaking appliances, you know. But yeah. I had, and now keep that in mind. I had when I started there, I had $1 million salesperson, $1 million worth of appliances. Now think about that.
Right.
When I left there, when I left, I went into a whole different division with the company. I had $6 million salespeople when I left there, and I had like four more knocking at the door.
Yeah.
So it's always setting the bar, and going back to the man or woman, it didn't matter. It didn't matter to me, you know, as long as they did it right, they did it fair. You know, I didn't mind them being a little cutthroat, but as long as they stayed fair, I didn't care who it was. It helped me get my bonus at the end of the year, every year, you know? I didn't see sex when I looked at them.
No, there's no reason. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, it's just about who is capable of doing the job, right? So gender shouldn't play a part in that. Now, some jobs, gender in general is going to play a part in that.
Well, sure. Yeah,
depending. You know, men in general are larger and stronger. And so if it's a job that there's more likelihood probably that a man would be able to do it than a woman would be able to do it. But a woman should have the opportunity to do it if that's what she wants to do. And if she can, do it, she should have it, you know? But yeah, I don't know. It's, I think, you know, you and I are a lot on the same page with this, but we were raised, you know, in a different world than we're living today. And their parents were raised in a very different world than we're living today. So those gender roles are they're changing, and that's a good thing. And I just think that, we need to keep that going. Not even the roles, but the pressures that go along with them, you know. And I can't speak for what a woman is going through and the pressures that they are going through. But, you know, just men in general, if we can kind of move away from the ingrained expectation that, you know, in order to be a man, you have to be strong, you have to be brave, you have to be independent, you have to be a leader, you have to be assertive. You know, if you're not those things, then you're not a man. And
I don't think that defines men anymore. I mean, it you're right. It used to, but I think that's slowly changing too.
I think it is, but it still really is a thing. I mean, it's not completely out in the open, but still, I mean, suicides, 7 out of 10 suicides. This is Suicide Prevention Month, I think. 7 out of 10 suicides are men.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's just those pressures, you know, we think we're going to get ridiculed, you know, when you're around your buddies or whatever, and something is going on or some emotional thing, you just naturally choke it down. You keep it in, you don't let it out. You're not seen crying in public, you know, all that kind of stuff. it's just not something that men do. Right. But why?
Yeah, I, you're right. And I'll tell you too, you never caught me crying in public ever when I was younger.
No.
Nowadays, you know, I can get pretty emotional. I mean, watching the ladies that do my other podcast, the young ladies that are super, super talented. Well, you know, Ren is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched them perform Midsummer Night's Dream, and there were tears in my eyes. I mean,
definitely.
You know, and I didn't mind people seeing it. When I was younger, that would have never, you know, no. But,
right.
But yeah, I was so, you know, my heart was as big as a basketball. I was so proud to even be a part of them. And I've had that with my kids too, but I don't think they saw me cry until I was much, 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 much older. I mean, my daughter has now for sure. And I think my son even has a couple of times, but,
yeah. The first time I ever saw my father cry, I was leaving home. I was joining the Air Force, and that was the first time I had ever seen him show an emotion like that, and it completely freaked me out.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on. I didn't even understand that. I couldn't comprehend it.
You know, I never saw my father like that. He stayed strong until my mom passed, his wife. And I'll never forget this, sitting at his dinner table in Durango. And, you know, he's got tears in his eyes, and he looked up from the table at me and he said, "Dave, I've lost my compass." And man, I'm telling you, we both started bawling. I mean,
yeah.
It was just freaking, I mean, they were together over 40, almost 50 years. Well, maybe they were together 50 years. I don't know. Probably right at it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I don't know,
man. Wow.
All right, man. Well, listen, we're trying to keep these at 30, and we're at that. We're a little bit over, not much, but, sure. I know we've got some great conversations. We've kind of hashed back and forth of what's to come. I mean, should we let out the bag what we may be going to do in the future? Or you want to keep that under hats a little while longer? Because I think that's going to be a tough one. I know we've already agreed to disagree. we do have some good stuff coming down the pike.
And I
want to get you on the wake up call show as well. So we can get some more exposure for this show.
Absolutely,
for sure. All right, man. Do you have anything else you want? I think we'll leave them wondering. I think we better have more of our ducks in the row because it's pretty. I thought it was a great conversation between the two of us, and I think it'll be real interesting. And the way that's all going to come out. So I think we tickled them enough. Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think so.
All right, man. You have anything else you want to add?
No, just, men out there, don't let society and peers tell you what it means to be a man. What it means to be a man is what you decided that is. That's what it is.
Yeah, I agree. And same way with women. I mean, there's not a button on here where women can't listen. I mean, it's not.
No.
Yeah, you're same way. To be you, the best you can be, right? Which is my other podcast too, altogether. There's a shameless plug for Grow Up Chronicles, being the best you can be. All right, man. Well, listen, Ken, I enjoy these talks, man. And
me too.
I want to stay more along the lines of, because our text, we got pretty in depth in that conversation. So
I could get even more in depth.
But I want to leave it. I mean, I want to do it when we're like this.
Right. Right.
All right. Thanks a lot. You've been listening to, what are we calling this again? Male Encounters of the Life.
The Life Kind.
I want to thank you for the logo too. I love the new logo, by the way.
Yeah, man.
It's perfect. Perfect.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of weird for me because I'm on the opposite side that I normally am on in the logo. You know, usually I'm on the right side and you took my side. What the hell was that?
I mean, it's left to right.
Is this like pissing contest or...
I put you on the first side and then left to right. That's how it works.
It's good.
Yeah.
The way you read, right? You read left to right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can pee farther up the wall than you can.
All right, I have a ladder.
It's only because I'm taller. Yeah. I love you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.